shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Here in 2 Peter chapter 1, like I said, we begin in verse number 16. The first thing I want to look at is in verse number 16 is the first part of that verse. We'll read the whole verse again, but I want to focus on the first part. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. And today, there are a lot of cunningly devised fables. You look around and you look at these places that call themselves churches, folks that call themselves Christians. You could just as likely call a lost person a Christian as you could call a Ford a Chevy Ford, or a Chrysler Yugo. Amen? It's just crazy out there. And the cunningly devised fables, what's a fable? It's just a made-up story. It's fictitious. So what's going on? We got a lot of fictitious stuff out there. A lot of fictitious stuff being preached in the name of religion, in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll get into a little bit more of that later, but as you know, and we talked about a little bit in Sunday school, you know, talking about watching these videos, these people coming up with these things about, you know, Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning now, and you know, just crazy things. If He's ruling and reigning on this earth, and, you know, a lot of folks say, well, it's a spiritual reign, well, they don't know their Bible. That Bible says Jesus Christ will rule and reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. That's a physical reign. And if you could rightly divide or even have an attempt at it, getting before the cross on Calvary and Matthew, you'd see that He's talking about a different time, a different what we call dispensation, when He's talking about judgment of nations and different things like that. But the devil has worked overtime. He doesn't stop. He doesn't take a break. He doesn't take a nap. He will take an eternal break in the lake of fire one day, praise God. But right now, he's just working overtime, and he's just messing everything up. And what he wants to do, like we've talked about before, is steal your faith in the Word of God, get you focused on supposed men of God. And I like the old preacher said, I want to be a man of God. I want to be God's man. Amen. The man of God thing is like, you know, the perfect, prim, and proper, this, that. That's Jesus Christ. I just want to be God's man. I want to be used of whatever He wants to use me for. Here I am, send me. Amen. That's what we need to be, the here I am, send me crowd. But these fictitious stories, these fables that are being made up, and all these things about, you know, the way he blends, the devil uses, blends these religions together. And, you know, we talked about a year or so ago, we brought this up, happened years ago, though, when I'll name names. Rick Warren brings up this Chrislam garbage to try to meld Christianity with Islam and say, well, it's Chrislam. We're all going to the same place. Allah is not my God. Jesus Christ is my God. Amen. You say, well, Jesus Christ isn't God. Jesus Christ is God, and He is my God. Amen. And Allah, you know what? They're going to find out. Unfortunately, if they don't trust Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, they're going to find out they've been fed a fable. They've been fed a fictitious story, and they'll spend eternity in a lake of fire with Muhammad. Amen. They'll spend it down there, and their prophet will be in a lake of fire. Jesus Christ will not bow His knee to their false prophet. Amen. That's a fictitious story. It's a fable, and it's cunningly devised. And Christians are welcoming that stuff in. Born-again believers are welcoming that stuff in. I'm warning you. Be careful what you believe. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you follow when you're supposed to be following the Spirit of God. And that Bible says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. They're life. The only way you can follow the Word of God, the Spirit of God, is by following the Word of God. When something crosses the Word of God, it is wrong. When the Spirit that you're being led by or you're following is not lining up with the Word of God, you need to get in line with the right spirit. Amen? But these cunningly devised fables, you notice cunningly. This isn't a happenstance thing. This is on purpose. The devil is intentionally making up stories to tell people that are complacent in their prayer life and their Bible study, born-again believers. are buying into this stuff. I remember that, you know, I'm usually pick on Joel Osteen. I'll let him have a break today, you know, because I don't want you to be the best you can be. I want you to be the best Christian you can be, amen. I want to be the best Christian. We got a lot of work. We're a mess, I guarantee you that. But I remember Rick Warren wrote that book, Purpose-Driven Life. I already have a Purpose-Driven Life book right here. People don't need to read another book. They need to read this one. But see, the devil uses that stuff to get people away from this. They'll sit down and they'll read that book and tell me, oh, did you ever read a great book? You ever read this one? Oh, parts of it, but never all the way through. But they'll sit down and read some guy's book all the way through over and over and over again and rate it on Amazon or whatever. But I've talked to born-again believer after born-again believer after born-again believer after born-again believer after born-again believer that have never read this book from Genesis to Revelation. Isn't that something? Oh, have you ever read so-and-so's book? You ever read the Lord's book? I mean, seriously. I mean, just sit down and start at Genesis 1, and then, you know, 6-8 months later end up over... You know, you could read that thing through a couple times a year pretty easily, just reading 10-12 verses a day. But there's something about this book that's different, and the flesh doesn't like to read it. And most people would rather read somebody else's book. I remember I was preaching at a church, an American Baptist church over in Illinois, and they didn't have a pastor at the time, and I didn't even know what they thought. I didn't know that they were all reading Rick Warren's book. How was I supposed to know? I guess God knew it. But I mentioned that, you know, I got a book. I think the message was that I got a book. I got a book. And we preached on that for about an hour out there. You know, and there's one guy out in the audience that was amen, and I found out he was a jail preacher that was from that church. But everybody else was like, oh, I can't believe you said that about Rick Warren's book. And I'm like, I can't believe you don't read God's book. It's the bestseller right here. I mean, this is the real bestseller. Amen. It's not the easiest one to take sometimes, but it's the bestseller ever was or ever will be. Amen. But the cunningly devised fables, they're everywhere. Last part of verse 16, the Lord balances this thing out. It says, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now we've seen the fables, now we're seeing the facts. You say, well, Jesus didn't exist, or he was this, that, or the other. Hey, there's more evidence than Jesus Christ existed than you exist. Amen. There's more history on Jesus Christ. You can't find General Patton, Robert E. Lee, you put them all together. There's more evidence that Jesus Christ walked this earth and went to Calvary than we had a civil war. Amen. You know, we talk about this happened, that happened, maybe this didn't happen, maybe that. That's a fact. I mean, there was over 500 witnesses that seen him after the resurrection. Remember Thomas? You say, well, Thomas, he was just a terrible unbeliever. He was a Baptist. He was a Baptist from Missouri, the Show Me State, amen? That's where I'm from, by the way, so I'm kicking me now. So the Show Me State, you show me. You know what he did? He put his hand in his side and his fingers in the nail prints of his hand. You know why I'm telling you that? You know why God allowed that to happen? There was no doubt about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. I mean, one of his disciples said, nah, I don't believe it unless I see it. He said, well, here I am. Handle me. Amen. Amen. Okay, but the Muhammad and all that stuff, that's just all a bunch of fiction. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and half the Baptists, they're all goofed up and out of God's will and out of God's book and making up stories and, you know, sit around and we'll bring in Time and Life magazine and we'll sit down and just make up a sermon and tell you happy things and you get your hair done and be a nice person and you go out there and look right, spit right, be right, walk right, talk right and just forget the Bible and don't really love Jesus Christ at all. You just do what makes you feel good and the truth is what makes you feel good usually isn't what God's in it. You know what makes you really feel good and joyful? Is being in the middle of God's will. Amen. So the fable, the made-up stories, the fact was these people actually saw Jesus Christ. You know something? I've actually seen Jesus Christ. You know where I've seen him? Wasn't it Robert Schuller's church, the Crystal Cathedral? Jesus never came to me and told me that I need $6 million by tomorrow or he's taking me home. If he did, I wouldn't even tell you I'm ready to go home. And I don't know if you got $6 million or not, but don't give it to me if he does that. Just let me go. Amen. Do not resuscitate and do not bring any money. But right here I saw him. I've seen Jesus Christ right here. Amen. And you know what? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. This book is spirit. You know, his spirit bears witness with my spirit. Say, well, the fables are overdone by the facts. Then 17 through 18, here you go. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice came from heaven. We heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We see the favor that God the Father saw in God the Son. He had earned that favor by obedience. Who's ever done that? Who's ever earned the favor of God the Father? Now, I know he looks at some men probably like D.L. Moody and Charles Haddon Spurgeon and those men and maybe a lot of those folks, Billy Sunday and them, and he's like, well, you know, that old boy did pretty good. But he never spoke from heaven and said that. There's D.L. Moody in whom I am well pleased. He only said it about one man, the man Christ Jesus. But you know what? We ought to endeavor to have that kind of favor with God where he can feel that way about us. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. He's given us a Bible, the great instruction manual. Amen. Fables, facts, favor. When you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and God imputed Jesus Christ's righteousness to your account, he imputed Jesus Christ's favor to your account. Everything that Jesus Christ is worthy of, you're deemed worthy of as far as getting to heaven and the possibility of pleasing God and having rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll have no excuse there. He'll say, I give you my word, I give you my Son's righteousness, I give you the power of God. Through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, give you directions through church and pastors and preachers and the Bible, and you'll stand there at the judgment seat of Christ, and he'll say, you could have done this, you could have done this, you could have done this. And I think, you know, where everybody's worried about the fire sale, I think it's just going to be a total disappointment when we get there to us, or I cannot believe what I have wasted. I think we're going to know just like that. Amen. I can't believe the opportunities I have let go by. I can't believe the days I've squandered. Amen. When I was able, but not willing. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about folks that aren't willing to do some things anymore. I'm talking about when you're able and not willing, which we all fall into that category a lot of times. Fables, facts, the favor. In 19 through 21, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We see the faith. You know what the faith is placed in? The prophecy of God. The Word of God. The Son of God. The truths of the Word of God. There's the faith right there. We have a more sure word of prophecy. They're saying, well, look, you know, look, we visually seen the resurrected Christ. We walked with him. We talked with him after his resurrection. Thomas actually put his fingers in the nail prints in his hand. He actually thrust his hand in his side and called him Lord. He understood who he was. We've actually seen that. But he said, you got a more sure word of prophecy. How could that be? You know, the devil hates that verse. He doesn't want you to believe that Bible. That's a more sure word of prophecy. That book doesn't change. You can pick that up tomorrow at 9 o'clock, tomorrow at 11 o'clock, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It's going to say the same thing. You pick up the same Bible, it's going to say the same thing. You pick up the right book, it's going to say the same thing. You know what it's never taught? It's never taught a lie. It's never taught deception. Now, I understand there's some things in there that God doesn't reveal to us, but really, God's not the author of confusion. Most of what's in this Bible is crystal clear. There are some things he doesn't reveal to us. And where the confusion comes, listen to this man say it means this, this one means say it means that, when obviously we just don't know what some of the stuff means. So where does it get confusing? Well, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. Well, it's only going to be one thing, and it might not be any of the stuff you've heard. Amen. But we'll know one day. The faith look at chapter number 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Some people say, well, see right there, it says they can lose their salvation because the Lord bought them and they get swift destruction. No, the Lord bought the world. He paid the debt for everybody. It's up to you whether you accept it or not. Amen. But look at the false prophets. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. You know where they were in Elijah's day? Everywhere. You know when he went against the prophets of Baal and God sent down the fire and devoured the... God does things in amazing fashion. I can't wait to see him take care of the devil, amen. It's going to be an amazing thing. I mean, you think about Elijah's day. Elijah's there, you got the prophets of Baal, and Elijah's having a good day, amen. Elijah's faith is up here. I mean, it blew the top of the thermometer off, right? Elijah's faith's up here. And he says, well, you call on your God, I'll call on mine, and the one that sends down the fire, let him be God. And the next thing you know, Elijah's out there. You know what he's doing in the middle of a drought? He's dumping water. In the middle of a drought, he's taking the water. He's trusting God so much, I'll take the water and dump it on there. He dumps it on the sacrifice, dumps it on everything out there, the wood. And you know what God does? He sends down the fire, and it licks the whole thing up, even the stones and rocks around it. You say, well, God's just going to regenerate this earth one day, and then he's going to make it a new earth. No, he's going to send the fire down to destroy this whole place. It's going to be gone. The elements are going to melt with the fervent heat. He's going to have a new heaven and a new earth. There won't be an Adam left. A-T-O-M. Starting all over again. Everything fresh and new. Amen. Anything that was tainted by sin, which is everything at this point. Now, y'all, if you're under 35, you're like, well, I don't know what it's like to leave the house without a phone. Never done that. But you remember, y'all old folks like me, right? We didn't have phones. You had to go to a phone booth or to a house or climb a pole on Green Acres, amen? Y'all are laughing like, that really happened? That stuff really happened. That wasn't just in the movie. That stuff did really happen, amen? Phone booths. Creed's seen a phone booth. He's seen a few of them, even down south. They probably still got them a couple places down there. You know, they're a little bit behind the curve, but they're a little bit ahead on some spiritual things, amen? But you realize you won't even have one of those stupid phones one of these days? You won't... And I don't mean to hurt your feelings or break your heart, but there won't be any Facebook in heaven. You still want to go? Some of you are like, let me pray about that one. Amen. Well, I've seen Jesus today, and then I had a cheeseburger with pickles for lunch. Like anybody cares? They don't care now. They're not going to care in heaven. Amen.
They got the iPhone 47.
No, you don't. Not in heaven. No. The iPhone 666 is probably where it'll end, and hopefully that comes out next year after we're gone. But the thing is, the false prophets are everywhere. And you don't have to go to their church building to get their false prophecies anymore. They deliver it to you. They deliver it to you. They deliver it to us. And the devil knows that the easier it is for us to be deceived, the more likely we are to be deceived, because we'll take that. Especially Americans, right? If it's simple, easy, and I don't have to leave my chair for it, I can sit there with what they call coffee, which is a very thin shake, sugar, and a cup, and a donut, and an iPhone, and my Lazy Boy, and I can listen to prophecy preachers, Kenneth Copeland, and Joyce Meyer, and Joel Osteen, and then I have no idea what's going on at the end of the day. You say, well, that's terrible. I don't do that. I read my Bible and pray. I listen to some of that stuff. Most people don't do that. Most people don't read their Bible. They soak up all that fictitious baloney. And that's what they follow. You ever talk to people about the Bible? When you talk to them about the Bible, you're going to find out they don't read it. Most people don't read the Bible. Oh, yeah, I've been in church. I was born in a Baptist, and I've been in church for, I got saved 100 years ago when I was born, I got baptized, and I was christened, and I was confirmed, and I was this, that, and the other, and I got some beads at home, and I got this, that, and the other, and I watch CBN or TN or whatever, TVN or whatever's on there, and, you know, I was watching Pat Sajak or Pat, what was that guy's name, Pat Sajak, it might as well be Pat Sajak, Pat Robertson, you know, I got that all figured out, praise the Lord, I hope he's saved in heaven right now. But, you know, I got that all figured out. And then you say, well, you ever read in, you know, you go to heaven? I didn't know that was in there. 1 John 5:13. Is that the New Testament? I mean, you think I'm kidding? I might have took it a little bit far when I was at the New Testament. But people don't know what the Bible says. They know what the television says. They know, used to know what the radio says. Now they know what their iPhone says or their dumb phone of some sort says. But they don't know what the Bible says. And if you walk into church and you get one thing that's actually biblical, you're like, phew, good night. I can't believe there's something biblical come out of that. Because it's not happening anymore. It's fables versus facts. And the favor of Jesus Christ, the faith should be put in the Word of God, the Son of God, which is the Word of God. The false prophets are everywhere. Look at verse number 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. There's the false followers of deception. The followers of deception. Talk to them all the time. And, you know, they bought a lie. And like I say, most of it is because the same reason when you get something for Christmas and your wife says, read the instructions, and you put it together and it looks absolutely nothing like it was supposed to. The same reason you turned a bookshelf into a coffee pot, amen, that can't even make coffee, is the same reason people are deceived when it comes to the Word of God. They don't read the instructions. They're deceived when it comes to God. You ever heard this? I hear it all the time. Judge not. I am not the judge. Who am I to judge? I know we're not supposed to judge. You ever read the Bible? Now look, I'm not talking about us being Jesus Christ or sitting on the throne of David. I'm just talking about he that is spiritual judges all things. You've got to judge between right and wrong or you'll be a mess. Or you'll follow anybody. Well, we're not to judge. I like watching Joel Osteen. He's got nice hair and he's got a pretty voice and all that stuff. You know, and he's just a smooth talker and I don't judge. Let me tell you something. God does. God does. And if you're lost, you'll be judged and cast into an eternal lake of fire. And if you're saved and do nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ and realize you wasted everything. And all you have is eternal security and salvation forever. But you don't have anything to lay back at His feet. That's all from Him. Amen. So I don't judge. I know I shouldn't judge. But that's the same reason you don't know whether you're a boy or a girl. Because you don't judge. And the devil uses words like fundamentalism and discrimination and prejudice. And he uses those to make something terrible out of it. So you'll feel bad if you even do it. You have to discriminate between things. You have to decide this is this and this is that. And if you're colorblind and you want to be colorblind, please don't be blind to the blood of Jesus Christ. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. But the devil has just used perverting of words. The word gay. Somebody's gay. No, they're not. They're a lesbian or a fag or whatever. And you say, well, that's terrible. They put the alphabet together. I didn't. They call themselves that. I'm not making up stuff. That's what they call themselves. Amen. The word gay, Solomon in his gay apparel, that means it was bright and joyful and wonderful. Just like they did hijacking the rainbow, they hijacked that word gay and tried to turn it into something that just perverted. If you're wearing gay apparel now, it means a totally different thing than it did in Solomon's day. Amen. You got to be careful with words. Well, I don't judge. Well, I'm not with prejudice. I don't want to discriminate. You better decide what's right and wrong. You better. Because let me tell you something. God's prejudice. He's already prejudged you guilty and on your way to hell if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He that believes not is condemned already. Amen. God discriminates. He looks at things and says, this means this and that means that. God's even a little biased. You know what he thinks? He thinks he's right and everybody else is wrong. And you know what? He's right and everybody else is wrong. Unless you agree with him, you're wrong. Well, I don't judge. Well, be careful. The followers of deception. Well, I just think that, you know, Allah is just as good as any old God. And I just, you know, Chrislam and all that, we just kind of meld it all together. We're all going the same place. That's true if you're lost. But if you got a lost man and a saved man, they're not going the same place. I mean, they might look like it on this road down here, but if you're saved, you're not going to end up the same place Allah's people are without Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to call some things what they are. Muhammad, pervert. Wicked, evil, pervert, pedophile, lying, deceiving devil. Hope he got saved right before he died or something, but that whole thing. The Quran is the deception. It is just, they take pieces and parts of the Bible and change it and pervert it and add to it and take away from it. It's a copy of the perfected book. It's a perverted copy, perverted translation, if you will. But God knew that was going to happen, and He said He'd keep His word. He promised you He'd give you His word for eternity. I believe here it is right now. And the devil knew it, and the devil didn't stop at the Quran, but he started attacking this book by making books that seem similar to it. And if you don't judge, and you don't discriminate, then you can't judge between right and wrong when it comes to words that are supposed to be the word of God. Amen. Well, I think you're just full of hate and anger. Well, there's some things I hate. Some things make me angry. Do you hate anything? I mean, if you really love something, you're going to hate something. Amen. You know what God hates? Proud look, lying tongue. I mean, you can go down a line of things. Those that sow discord among the brethren. Isn't that something that's right in there with a lying tongue? That's something. I'm not talking about not discriminating, not judging things that are right and wrong, but I'm talking about trying to split up stuff that God's trying to do something with. Trying to divide, cause a disunity in what God's trying to make unity. But the followers of deception, look at verse number 3, chapter number 2, 2 Peter chapter 2. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Feigned words. You know what those are? Those are words intended to deceive. They are intentionally deceptive words. And the world's full of it. The world's full of deception. Intentionally deceptive. Deception's everywhere. I remember 30 years ago or whatever, and I found out they painted stuff on cheeseburgers and they put it on TV. But why in the world do I get the bad McDonald's? No, there is no good McDonald's. That's a picture of a hamburger that's been made by an artist that looks real. And you get it, and you got this, somebody knocked the heel off their shoe, put it on a bun, hit it under a pickle. Amen. But it's GMO free, amen. Whatever. But it's all deception, smoke and mirrors. You know, say, well, I watch Fox News because I want a fair and balanced perspective. Get a grip. I mean, there is no fair and balanced anything out there with men. There isn't. I mean, one side slants it one way, one side slants it the other way, and the next thing you know, they're both slanting it the same way, and it's all slanted. Used to be, I mean, those days are gone. Those days when a man would get up there, a woman would get up there, some of the old school guys would get up there and just call it like it is. And they did it to report, not to give you talking points and thinking process. They want you to think this way. Now they're programming you. It's not news. It's the same old junk all the time. Rehash, rehash, rehash. I want you to believe this. I want you on this side. I want you on this side. How about Jesus' side? Nobody wants you on that side except the Lord and some saved people. Amen? Really, if you think about it, whether it's Fox, CNN, ABC, CBS, or whatever it is, I don't even know if CBS, I don't even know if some of the places are even in business anymore. I don't even watch that junk. But no matter what it is, whichever side's going which direction is trying to take you away from the Lord. Amen. This whole thing about, you know, Trump good, Biden bad. Everybody's a sinner. We need to focus on Jesus Christ. Donald Trump is not getting the throne of David. He might build one even and think it is. Amen. Come on, joke with me. I know y'all love Trump. Praise God, whatever. But I mean, I'm not against the guy. I vote for him over Biscuit Head. I vote for him over that guy. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ is getting the throne of David. He is going to rule and reign perfectly. And you know what's not going to matter? Nobody's checking account. The gas prices. The cost of a bag of potato chips. Can you believe that? People pay $7-$8 for a bag of potato chips. That's crazy. That's almost like Thanksgiving dinner. Spend 8 hours in the morning and 8 hours in the evening and 12 hours the next day, and then it's gone in 15 minutes. You got to clean up for 4 hours. It's like a bag of chips. You work for an hour, buy that bag of chips with an hour's wages, it's gone in 3 minutes. Then you realize you just ate so much food coloring and stuff, you're going to go in the dark. Hey, when you get older, they won't need a missing person report. They'll just find me when the lights go out. Amen. There's Dorito Man. Amen. Red number 4 or 5 or whatever it is. You mix it up, you know, you get the yellow 7 or whatever and the red 5, and it can be real interesting at night. You know why I think they're doing it? They won't need night vision stuff to find us in. There they are. There's them Baptists right there. They glow in the dark from eating all that food coloring. But the feigned words, they're intentionally deceptive words. You know why they are? Look at this verse again. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You know what you are to the world? Merchandise. You know why? Just like every other piece of merchandise, you're for sale. Think about it. Think about it. Are you for sale? Or are you already bought and paid for? Think about it. Jesus Christ already owns you if you're saved. Are you willing to be for sale for the devil? And look, I understand. I understand confusion and what's going on around the world a lot of times. And I understand, we can be afraid of some things and we can get worried about some things and we can want to plan. But we got enough things to worry about today. That's what the Bible says. Take no thought of tomorrow. But you know what he's talking about? You know, people, if you're digging a bomb shelter and you're loaded up with Fritos and buckets from Jim Baker or whoever that guy is, You're off base, man. You're off balance. Something's wrong. First of all, that's the perpetual lying out there is to get you to buy the buckets. I mean, honestly, if you buy, you can spend everything you got on buckets of food, and when the rapture happens, the Jehovah's Witnesses are all going to eat it. Amen. And they're going to do it in Jesus' name, even though they don't think he's God. Tongue in cheek, but you know what? It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. And all those buckets of food ain't going to do anybody any good. All the ammo and all that, and praise the Lord. If they shut McDonald's and Kroger and Walmart and Meijer tomorrow, 22 rifle and 20 gallons of water, you can make it 3 weeks without even worrying about it. Amen. So I would never eat a squirrel. They're just a little rat. You just haven't been hungry yet. Amen. Well, rabbits, they do stink when you clean a rabbit. They're stinking critters. But you know what? You get hungry, you'll clean that stinking critter and eat it. Amen. Well, I can't believe y'all old biggins living on. Hey, you'll eat grass, you get hungry. Amen. You'll pick 4-leaf clovers, you'll eat them. Amen. That's my lucky clover. Amen. There's a way to get through this thing. They can't get... You know, no farmers, no food. I'm not saying I'm against the farmers. What? No God, no food. No farmers, no food. No seeds, no food. How many of you can't grow a vegetable? Because I'm not coming to your house if things get bad. You can't grow a vegetable. Amen? But, I mean, you put a garden out, even if you're no good at it, a third of it's going to make it. Amen? No farmers, no food. No government funds, no farmers. How about that? They sold out a long time ago. Oh, that shouldn't be on the air, should it? Ain't going to be no farmers joining this church. But seriously, they took over the farming industry. Why? Just a little piece at a time. Taking everything over. Just like the states' rights, the farmers did the same thing. They put them in a bind, and I got them to take subsidies. They did that with the states. It used to be all the states were different. You go to one state, had this law, another state, and now they're like, well, you don't get any federal highway funding unless you do it our way. It's been that way for years and years and years and years. That's why all the states are turning liberal. Merchandise. They're for sale. Don't be for sale. Be sold. Amen. How about this? You ever heard this? That's your interpretation. Ever heard that? Well, they talk about, well, I hear it all the time. You know, well, salvation by grace through faith, that's your interpretation. There's works involved too. That's just your interpretation. Okay, well, if that's my interpretation, explain this. For by grace ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him, nothing else, just believeth in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. How do you explain those verses? Well, that's just your interpretation. Well, that's the Bible interpreting the Bible. Eternal security, that's a big one. I think more people hate eternal security than anything. So, wow, you Baptists need eternal security. Well, that's just your interpretation. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. I'm in the Father's hand, no man can pluck me out. How that interprets itself? Well, that's just your interpretation. Oh, you get that? Well, God's through with Israel. Okay, Romans chapter 11 says blindness in part is coming to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. How do you explain that? And then you get up to Revelation, and he's got Jews, 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes. He's dealing with the Jews. How do you explain that? Well, we're spiritual Jews. What spiritual tribe are you in? That doesn't make sense. Well, that's just your interpretation. It's not just my interpretation. It's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. How about that? You get that a lot, though. That's your interpretation. Jesus isn't God. Oh, yes, he is. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, God shed his own blood. That's just your interpretation. How do you get around that? Well, you either ignore what the words say, or you're writing in the Bible, or both. And Jesus Christ in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and Jesus Christ the Creator. You can't get around that. That's not just an interpretation that I have as a Baptist. That is what I see as a Bible believer. That's what the book says. Well, that's just your interpretation. Hell's not literal. Okay, what do you do with Luke 16? The guy's naming names. It's not just a parable. He names Lazarus' name. And then you go over Revelation and God's calling people out of hell and casting them into a lake of fire. Well, that's just your interpretation. That's what the Bible says. They don't read the Bible. They believe what some man tells them. Well, the rapture, ain't no rapture in the Bible. Well, there is in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 4. There is. That's just your interpretation. I can't unread that stuff. Amen? Church is going through the tribulation. No, they're not. We're going to be out of here. Well, that's just your interpretation. I know a guy on TV that's selling you food buckets. Amen? That says there's no rapture. Or you're going to go through some really, really bad times in the tribulation and God's going to call you out the last second or something. They're selling you food buckets. They're making merchandise of you. Well, there is no... I'm telling you, we've got rapture verses after rapture verses after rapture verses. It's not just one verse taken out of context. It's verse after verse after verse, being caught up with him in the air. Daniel chapter 9. It's a point of time appointed to Daniel's people, a time of Jacob's trouble. We're not appointed to wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're not appointed to wrath. We're out of here before the wrath of God falls. Now, if you want to go halfway through the tribulation, if you can fight the rapture, help yourself, but we're getting out of here. Amen. That's just your interpretation. Well, how about this? I believe this book from cover to cover. And I believe God said he'd keep his word. And I believe his word's eternal. And I believe here's a copy of it in English right here. Perfect. And if you don't believe it, that's just your interpretation. And you've been wrong about everything else. Amen? Here it is. You know what God says? Same thing about salvation. Take it or leave it. God's not a Calvinist of any sort. He's not going to make you believe this book. But you know what else he's not going to do? And the devil's not even going to do it. The devil's not even going to make you believe a lie. You got a choice. You can trust this, or you can trust the words of man. Well, a guy on TV said, and you know, he's been right about everything else, according to him. According to him. Same guy that's dated the rapture 14 times in the last 8 months. Amen. Well, we get my encounter. I know it's one calendar. I just haven't found it yet. I know this is the date. We're just off by 700 years. That's all. I know we are off. Our calendar's off. We're off, isn't it? But what you believe, is it Bible? Or is it just your interpretation? We try to teach and preach the Bible here. We try to be honest with each other and say, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure about that. But this book is of no private interpretation. If God wants to show you something, he'll show you. And if he doesn't, he won't. And if he won't, and you say, well, God, I'm going to go around you and trust man instead, you're going to get there. Because then it'll be just your interpretation. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, not to be merchandise used by the bamboozlers out there, Lord, the deceivers, the false prophets. Help us to anchor firmly to your word. And, Lord, hold on to it till you call us out of here. You're holding on to us. Help us hold on to you till you call us out of here. And, Lord, bless this church. Use this church. Breathe on this church for your honor and your glory. And, Lord, again, we lift up the folks that are struggling with health issues and other issues. You'd help them and strengthen them. And Lord, call us out of here soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But in the meantime, strengthen us to keep on keeping on until you do call us home. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday night.